You know what happens to even a Christian man when a woman continues to bug her husband for something? You know what it does? It turns him totally off. If he don't want to do something and she keeps asking him over and over, their relationship starts wavering. You know, he don't want to hear it. He's made a decision. You say, I want this or that. And no, you can't have that. We're not going to do that. And if she keeps bugging him, then he'll get to where he don't even want to be around her, because every time he gets close to her, he knows what she's going to do. She's going to start complaining about whatever he didn't do. And he don't like to hear that. Men don't like to hear that. So women need to learn that whenever you ask your husband for something and he says no, just like this family out there in Oregon, she should have went to the throne of grace. But she didn't know how to go to the throne of grace. See, if she had done it right and went to the throne of grace and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I can come up here boldly, like Hebrews 4:16 says, I can come boldly into the throne of grace and I ask you for anything I want to in times of need for mercy. Now, Father, I want another little girl or a little boy or a little child. I want a baby. I want a beautiful, healthy, intelligent, wonderful child. One more before I get too old. Would you move on my husband's heart? Would you squeeze his heart and direct it in the right direction so he'll want a baby just like I do? Would you do that for me, Lord? And guess what the Lord will do? Guess what he'll do? Sure, he'll answer your prayer. And one day your husband comes and he said, you know, I've been thinking about what you asked me the other day. You know, he said, maybe one more wouldn't be so bad. Okay, we'll have one more. And then she's all happy. And see, and then the little one don't have to be born with sickness and disease, right? Because the two are in agreement. There's no problems here between the two. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Verse 7 and 8. Even he remembered or rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Plead with him when? So you ask him one time, you don't get your answer. What did he say do? Plead with him when? Day and night. Don't let it rest. Lord, you know when Caitlin was technically killed in the car wreck? You think I walked in and just prayed one time? What do you think I did after I prayed? After I prayed and stood on John 15:7 and asked the Lord to completely restore that little girl, you think I just went home and forgot the whole deal? What do you think I did? What do you think? As I'm walking up and down that hospital, what do you think I'm doing? Praising the King. Lord, thank you for healing my baby. Lord, thank you for your promises, which are always yes and amen. Lord, I want to praise you and worship you and thank you that you're the mighty God. You're the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. I know that doctor says that she can't live. In fact, that second week, whenever they called us in there, 9 days later when the doctor said, I don't know how this little girl's living, even with a machine on her. He said, I just done a second MRI on her this morning and there's absolutely nothing attached to her brain. Nothing. I said, the eyes are disconnected and everything? He said, there's nothing attached to her brain. I said, her brain is technically free-floating in her head. He said, yes. So he said, she can't live. He said, this week we're just going to go ahead and unplug her. And said, when she deceases, don't plug her back in because she'll be a vegetable. I said, she ain't going to decease. When you unplug her, that little girl, she's going to breathe on her own. You know, now, who do we serve? Do we serve Jesus Christ? God the Father? The Holy Ghost? Did he give us a book completely full of promises? Well, what's wrong with us? I think we're a little dense. I can only speak for myself for the first 40 years of my life, but I wasn't a little dense. I was a lot dense, Scott. You know what I mean? I was a lot dense. Here I've got the Word of God in my hand with all these wonderful promises, and Jesus is telling me what to do, and I'm not doing it. And so I'm being beat up on by the enemy all the time and don't even know that I got complete power and authority over him. Isn't that something? The devil. I mean, I can just see the devil laughing at me back yonder in those days. I can just see him saying, look at this idiot. Look at him. He don't have a clue who he is. I've kept him out of the Word all these years. He goes to church every Sunday. Oh, he's a good little boy. He goes to church. He tries to be a good boy, but he don't have no clue. He ain't winning nobody to Jesus. He ain't getting nobody delivered, nobody healed. I've done a good job on keeping him out of the Word. And with any kind of luck, I'll let him live through his whole life, and I'll deceive him the whole time, and then one day he'll die thinking he's done some good things for Jesus. And he ain't never done nothing. He ain't got nobody saved or delivered or healed. Nothing. Never won a soul to Jesus. Nothing. But yet, the power and authority is right there for him to do anything. And I've deceived him. Boy, did he do a good job on me. Woo, did he do a good job on me. But has he done a good job on any of you? He done a good job on me. But praise God, I'm getting some of the answers now. I'm learning. Where am I learning these things from? Right here. Even he rendered a just decision in the end, so don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Sometimes God's quickness and our quickness is two different terms. You know, to me, I'm microwave technology. I love it when I pray a prayer for a little boy standing right there last Saturday a week ago and see God instantly restore his eyes. Now that I love. But that little girl that was out there in the Ballinger, she came here a couple of years ago, and that was her only problem with eyes. She wore glasses. I mean, her eyes were okay. It's just she has to wear glasses to see. So she came up and said, "Pastor, I want you to pray, and I believe with all my heart God will restore my eyes to perfect where I don't have to wear glasses no more." I said, "If you can believe with me, I'll pray the prayer of faith for you, and he'll do it for you." I said, "You got all sins repented of?" She said, "Absolutely. I'm walking in obedience to his word. I'm trying my best to be a good girl." I said, "Well, that's the kind of girls God likes. Good girls." I prayed the prayer of faith for her. Never heard from her again. Went off out to Ballinger to buy some steel last year. Walked into this store, and I'm over there, and I hear some girl said, That voice. I hear that voice. That sounds like Thurman Scribner. She come running around the corner there, and she said, "Oh, Pastor Thurman, praise God." And she run up and grabbed me and squeezed me right quick. And I said, "Well, ma'am, who are you?" She said, "I came to one of your healing schools about a year ago." And she said, "I asked you to pray for my eyes. That before I got home, I didn't need my glasses. That I don't use them no more. My eyes are completely healed." I mean, here this girl is working in a great big metal fabrication plant in Ballinger, Texas. And I thought, wow, this girl got her eyes healed and she never even called back to tell me. You know, what? Isn't it, who knows how many people God's healed out of this place? Huh? Oh, that's right. Eldon was with me out there that day. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, we went out there together to pick up that metal. And it was an awesome day, wasn't it, Eldon? We never know where we're going to run into people as God healed. When you send out 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week all over the world, you never know when you're going to run into somebody that has received your healing, a healing from Jesus through your teaching. And I love it. It says, "I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith?" Oh. How many is going to have faith when he comes back? Well, here's at least one. Are you going to be one of those? I want you to hold your hand up and say, "Lord, I'm going to be one of those going to have faith when you come back." Yeah, I ain't going to be that dead Christian. I'm going to be living for you, and I'm going to be believing your word. Right, girl? You're going to be one of those too. We want to be children of the Most High God, that when he comes back, he can look and say, "Oh, there's one of my daughters. She got faith. Oh, there's one of my sons, but he's got faith." I want to have faith, don't you? Because the king said, if you don't have faith, you can't please me. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. Do we want to please him, Tom? Yes, we want to please the king. So, how many of us is going to have faith when he comes back? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, that's through verse 8. Now let's go to verse 9 through 14. And let's look at what some of the people that have great confidence in themselves. Let's see how God likes these kind of people. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great self-confidence and scorned everyone else. There ain't no use going nowhere else to get healed. You can't get healed. I'm the only man in the world who knows how to get you healed. Does that sound like God's way? No, I don't think so. Do you think there's other pastors in the world that God's given this revelation to? Absolutely. You know, I mean, there for a while, I began to think I was the only one that he'd given this revelation to. Then I began to find out there's people all over the world, God's healing, and miracles are happening. I said, oh, God, thank you that I'm one of them over here in the corner. I'm so grateful, Lord, for what you've given to me. He said, then Jesus told this story to some who had great self-confidence and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a dishonest tax collector. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. Thank you, Lord, that I'm perfect in all that I do. I know I'm your favorite. I know now some of you girls may feel like that. I'm perfect, God. I never make a mistake. If you don't believe it, just ask my husband. He'll tell you, God, that I'm perfect. Or if you're a guy, you might be saying this, that, Lord, if you don't think I'm perfect, just ask my wife. And the Lord says, oh, I don't have to ask your wife. I know you're far from perfect. I got tickled. I've told this a lot of times in my life, too. I said, used to when I was preaching after Cheryl got healed, she'd come to a meeting and got healed, and then she'd come to church, and the only way she knew me was seeing me preach. One day, she was sitting there thinking, gee, I wonder what it would be like to be married to a perfect man. And then God brought her to me and found out I'm a long ways from perfect. Long ways. But she said, he's working on me. At least she said, I'm a diamond in the rough. You know, so praise God. He's whacking away, knocking off all them little sharp edges. And is he doing the same thing to every one of us? Yes, he's knocking off the rough edges on every one of us. Praise the Lord. It says that I am not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. Over there. For I never cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I never sin. Woo! Anytime a man tells me he never sins, now my goal is no sin. Y'all all know that. But unfortunately, I fall short of that goal every once in a while, somehow, some way. When I do fall short of that goal, what is my immediate response? Lord, I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I said something to someone I shouldn't have or whatever, and Lord, I repent. Now then, let's press on from here. I don't want to sin under no condition. When he says I never cheat, I try to never cheat. I don't want to cheat anybody under no conditions. I don't sin. I try not to, don't you? Yes, we try not to. I don't commit adultery. Now then,
we are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Be Persistent and Never Give Up, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.